Welcome to the Spoiler Room, Favorite Holiday Movies, Part 2. If you missed Part 1, head on over, listen to Part 1, then come back here and hear a continuing discussion in our epic 9-person Spoiler Room tonight as we talk about those films that get us in the festive spirit. This spoiler-filled podcast is recorded live, unscripted, and intended for those over 18. Now prepare your ears for the audio stimulation they've been waiting for all day as we step into
the spoiler room.
And, Andrew, I don't think we've gotten your pick yet. What holiday film did you want to talk about, sir?
Oh, well, we have a playlist basically every year. We have one that we watch when we decorate the tree. We have one that we watch when we wait for New Year's. It's a thing with us. So we like have a rotation of basically 10 that we go like we got to watch no matter what. So my list is like I've got a Scrooge's on here, Bad Santa's on here, Love Actually is on here, Christmas Vacation, 8 Crazy Nights, Tokyo Godfathers, Blackadder and Mr. Bean, I count as one, Muppet Family Christmas, I count as one. And has anybody heard of the movie The Ref with Dennis Leary? Did anybody pick that?
Oh, yeah.
Jesus,
I've heard
yeah.
Of it. I haven't seen it.
Okay, and Friday After Next, also, the third in the Friday series?
Sure.
But if nobody picked The Ref, I want to talk about The Ref. Didn't
anyone? Yeah, go ahead. Why don't you tell me about The Ref?
The Ref, I feel is the greatest Christmas movie of all time. It's actually my favorite. It's my number one every time I've ever done a list for work. It was made in 1994. It's by the late Ted Demme, brother of Jonathan. And it stars Dennis Leary, who at the time was just a young up-and-coming comedian who people didn't realize ripped off most of that from Bill Hicks, because Bill Hicks was in obscurity and then died
very soon
after.
Right,
Bill Hicks. Right. Yeah, but the thing is, Dennis Leary actually is just a really good actor, and The Ref is proof positive of that. His supporting cast includes Kevin Spacey and Judy Davis and Christine Baranski. I mean, and Leary plays a criminal who's a jewel thief, and he actually is on the lam from the police during Christmas Eve. So he basically takes hostage at gunpoint a couple whose marriage is in the toilet. That's Spacey and Judy Davis. And he basically like ends up kind of regretting his decision almost immediately, because jail would be better, death would be better than hanging out with these two people. But they have a family that's coming over for the Christmas Eve and dinner and everything, and basically they have to pretend that this armed criminal is their therapist. The movie is got, I don't know how many cuss words in it. I don't know how many threats of violence, how many sexual references. I mean, it is just foul-mouthed. And but it was an early indicator of how great an actor Kevin Spacey would turn out to be. And it's weird to think that Leary would have top billing over him. But Judy Davis is a woman that you don't often see in a pretty, like, you know, vulgar comedy, because she's known more of like almost as a theatrical quality, you know, more of a dramatic chops kind of a person. She is amazing. The opening scene, they're talking to their actual therapist, and she's like, tell them about the dream that you have. And she's like, I dream that we're at dinner and my husband's penis is my husband's head's delivered to me on a platter and his penis is next to it. And they go like, you've got to try, it's delicious, but don't eat the penis, it's just garnish. And the therapist is like, what do you think, asking Spacey, what do you think about this story? And he's like, I wish she'd stop telling it at dinner parties. I mean, the dialogue is so good, like every line is hilarious. I mean, we can't get enough of it. And my wife and I, it's been our holiday movie that I saw it when it came out in 1994 as a teenager, but it is the one we have to watch. If nothing's happening, if the house is burning down, we take The Ref and we watch it on the corner. It's just so good. And I don't know what to say except for that is the number one. The Ref is it's killer. It's so good.
Another one of those forgotten holiday films that people forget, I think, that...
I don't think people knew. I don't think people knew just what it was. You know? But when we went to see it, we were like, damn, that's funny.
It didn't get a huge amount of press, too, if I remember when it came out, either.
It didn't.
They didn't really promote it, either. So, Don, what about you? Have you seen The Ref?
I haven't. I haven't, but I definitely am going to.
Yeah, I highly recommend it as well. Cole, what about you, The Ref?
Yeah, man, I saw it in the theater, and it was packed, and it was so astonishing when it turned out that it bombed. Yeah. Because the audience went, pardon my French, they went fucking nuts. I mean, they loved that movie. I love that movie. I still love it, and I can't, you know, Dennis Leary broke my heart. You know, I got into him before Bill Hicks, and then when I learned who Bill Hicks was and what an amazing persona and what an amazing man he was, and he changed my life. I can't even really look at Dennis Leary anymore. Mm-hmm. It's horrifying. But it just shows you how good that movie is, because I watch it and I still love it. It's a classy movie. It's just, mm-hmm. it's a really classy Christmas movie. It's got vulgar jokes, but the heart works. I think maybe that's just Spacey's performance. Spacey is so good in this. So good in this. I haven't seen it in probably a decade, but I remember it for all the reasons he said and other reasons too. It's a great movie.
Kate, what about you, The Ref?
I haven't seen it, but I think I need to.
Paul, have you?
It sounds hysterical. So.
Go ahead, Paul.
I would agree that Dennis Leary and Kevin Spacey are just fantastic actors. It was good to see them earlier in their career. And, you know, it's just – it's a neat premise to have therapy by gunpoint. I just think that's a neat concept.
Have you seen it, Tony, The Ref?
Surprisingly, no, I haven't.
Oh, well, see, now you got another one on your list. So.
Yeah, the funny thing is that I actually never heard about this movie until, like, literally just 2 days ago.
Oh, really?
Because I was reading an article on top 5 or top 10 Christmas movies you may have never heard of, and knowing me that loves to watch Christmas movies, pretty much any kind, I always like to look at what are some of the Christmas movies I've never seen. But when I saw The Ref was on that top 5 or top 10 list of Christmas movies you might never know about, I'm all like, huh, that sounds interesting, because I read the description. After reading that, I'll definitely get around to watching it for the first time sometime this month.
Cool. Awesome. And Glenn, you, sir?
One of the most underrated movies of the last 20 years.
Awesome.
I almost picked this one as mine. But I knew Andrew was going to pick it.
I would have let you have it, Glenn. I would have let you have it.
Well, it's okay, because my other one, actually, I watch more often than The Ref this time of year. So
This is an indicator of The Ref, though. That's the thing. Either you've never seen it, or it's one of your favorite movies. That's the thing.
It is.
Like, if you meet somebody that has seen it, you guys are going to start quoting it back and forth to each other. You'll be like, is Murray there? Is there a fucking waste of life named Murray there? You need to start doing that.
Oh man! Oh, now that you're just bringing all kinds of memories back from that movie. so The Ref. If you haven't heard about it, go look for it and watch it. You will not regret it. Dawn, how about you now? What holiday film for you is one of your favorite?
Well, it's hard. I guess the one that I watched the most over the years. Is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Awesome.
I think that's not everybody's.
Yeah, that's so good.
Tell folks a little bit about National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Well, it's the vacation family, the Griswolds. Yeah. It's the Griswolds. In this one you have, I forget his name. You have obviously Chevy Chase and Beverly D'Angelo, Juliette Lewis, and
Cousin Eddie.
Dennis Quaid? I know.
Randy Quaid.
Randy Quaid.
Dennis Quaid.
Sorry.
I'm drawing a blank on the kid's name. He plays in Big Bang Theory now.
Oh, yeah.
Galecki. Johnny Galecki.
Jim Galecki.
Is
the brother in that one. I think the movie, I mean, they're preparing for the holidays, they get the tree. I think the themes in this movie are timeless and relatable to just about everybody, because everybody's been there. The movie is quotable, memorable.
I think it's one everybody's seen.
Yeah.
I mean, this is if you haven't seen this, you haven't been living under a rock, you are a rock.
And actually, it's celebrating an anniversary this year, I think, isn't that?
Oh, really?
Well, every movie celebrates an anniversary.
Well, yeah, thanks. I knew someone was going to say that the minute I dropped that. Thank you, Glenn. No, I believe
89.
It only came out in 89. That's right. So 25 years. 25 year anniversary. Yeah, because it's actually being released in theaters. The theater here, 30 minutes, that's showing Birdman is actually showing National Lampoon on the big screen.
Oh, I'd love to go to that. Great double bill.
That may be
so cool.
Just camp out.
Yeah. So I think it is a great movie. Cole, what about you, sir? What's one of your favorite moments from this film?
Oh, everything. For all the reasons Don mentioned and everything else. I think it's my favorite movie of the series. I mean,
absolutely.
You're not to love, man. Oh, my favorite moment, Shitter's Fall.
Good old Cousin Eddie.
17th in a hockey mask. This is when Friday the 13th was peaking, you know, yeah. And what are you going to do with a tree that big? Well, bend over and I'll show you. So weird talking to me like that. I wasn't talking to you.
Yeah.
I think it is actually Louis-Dreyfus.
It was Louis-Dreyfus as the neighbors, yes.
This is a great movie. I mean, just a fantastic comedy. I love it.
One of those you forget who's all in it. Kate, what about you? Christmas Vacation, you got a favorite moment?
Oh, God, I haven't seen it in, like, 10 years. Like, I haven't seen it in forever, but I remember loving it. The one thing I do remember is the Shitter's Full.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that I remember, like, just crystal clear. But I'm going to have to watch it again because I remember loving it.
Yeah, it is just one of those. It is a timeless one, definitely. Andrew, what about you? A favorite moment in that film, one of them?
Oh, God. Well, you know Andre Toulon's in it, right? Yes. William Hickey, the original Puppet Master.
Yeah.
Fucking among the other, you know, several people. I think my favorite part in it is when, you know, Clark realizes that, you know, he's got fucked over by his employee or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, and he goes for the eggnog and chugs it, you know? But I think I'm mixing up my favorite part, actually. I think my favorite might be when he's like, can I get you some more eggnog, Eddie? Drive you in the middle of the desert, leave you for dead? And he's like, nah, Clark, or maybe it's like, if I woke up tomorrow with my head still in the carpet, I wouldn't be more surprised than I am. it's just Chevy Chase. I don't think people that necessarily of the generation after me quite understand how freaking funny he used to be. You know,
what I mean?
Like he had something that he could do. That just those lines, and when he goes on his tirade, hopeless, heartless. You know that whole thing. Hallelujah, holy shit. Where's the time?
Lying, no good, rotten, flushing, low life, snake like a dirty, inbred sack of shit he is.
Yeah, it's so good, Glenn.
You nearly got through it, the whole thing. It's an ultimate. It's an ultimate rant. It really.
Yeah,
is.
And also I guess Beverly D'Angelo is she's still like gorgeous, man. She's like she's naked in the first one, everybody.
Yeah,
I wish they would have her naked like in the new one too.
and
she probably looks better.
Yeah, probably.
Because that man, I'm just okay. I had
a crush on her as well for that. That's one of the reasons you watch the Lampoon movies. But you also had some other veteran actors in here. I mean, you got E.G. Marshall, Doris Roberts, Diane Ladd is in here. John Randolph, all these veteran actors, they got to play these relatives perfectly. I mean, oh, just so spot on. Tony,
and you get the idea of maybe why Griswold is so messed up.
Yeah.
You know, you get a look at his family, and you suddenly understand, oh, shit, maybe he's not such an obsessive maniac. You know? Great.
Tony, what about you? You've seen Christmas Vacation, haven't you?
Oh, of course.
Okay, and what's one of your favorite parts in that film?
I want to mention two parts that always have me cracking up every time. The first one is when the cat gets electrocuted by that Christmas tree.
Brad, push the cat.
I love that moment.
Stephanie had 9 lives. He just spent them all.
That was in the trailer. Yeah, that was in the trailer.
And then the other one is when Griswold tries to get all the Christmas lights in his house to turn up, and they won't. And it turns out there's a switch in the garage that turns on all the Christmas lights on the house.
Yes.
And the nuclear auxiliary has to be
nuclear auxiliary.
What the hell is so bad? Those moments crack me up.
And Paul, I think we need your favorite moment from Christmas Vacation.
It's definitely the house lighting, because to me that's holidays. You know, always trying. If you look down the street that where I live, there's always people trying to get better light shows every single year. So to me, that's holidays. So yeah, definitely that's my favorite scene in that. Mm-hmm.
And here's what will blow people's minds who aren't familiar with this film. This is a John Hughes movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This was written by John Hughes, and a lot of people forget that. I mean, that's probably why it's so good, because of Mr. Hughes's influence, you know. And for me, yeah, every moment of this movie I love. I watch it every year. And it cracks me up all the time. I think everybody can identify with at least two family members that they have in their family or had experienced at their time. And it takes every disaster ever in the holidays and wraps them into a big bow into this film. And it is one of those modern holiday classics that, it makes me laugh every time I think about it, even, you know, from the tree getting set on fire to the squirrel.
The cat food in the Jell-O.
She wrapped up her damn cat.
She's old. I don't know if I would go flying down some hill with nothing between the ground and my brain with some government plastic. Oh, really think it matters, Eddie?
You really think it matters, Eddie? That's actually one of the best parts right there.
Yeah, the exchanges between Eddie and Clark are some of the most timeless, best-timed lines ever, because Randy Quaid's character is so clueless, and Chevy's just ripping him, and he doesn't even realize it, and it makes it just so much more hilarious, because Eddie, Clark, I'd love to, but they had to replace that piece of plastic, the metal I had in my head, with a piece of plastic, because every time she turned on the microwave, I pissed myself and forget who I was for an hour.
Do you know that there's a sequel to this movie? That
No, there's not.
I've never seen it.
Do not acknowledge the made-for-TV Randy Quaid project, the sequel. Yeah,
that no one liked it or saw it.
I didn't even know there was one, to be honest.
I didn't either.
I just figured Vegas Vacation being the next one. I don't even think about that.
Your life is better not knowing that one. Christmas Vacation, though, modern classic. It really has to be on everyone's list. It's just so funny.
Isn't that insane, though, man? The original Vacation is so great, and European is so great, and so is that. That's kind of crazy for a franchise.
It is definitely.
Like comedy franchise.
Especially for, a comedy franchise. Well, Christmas Vacation is so different from the other two, especially. I mean, you get the same characters, but they're at home, for one. But just the way it was, and apparently it was based off of a short that they had done with the characters. I forgot for what program or skit. They did a short about just a scene with him where he's watching the movies up in the attic, and they based it. I guess that's where it got an inspiration for the full-fledged movie was that. They did a short that involved just that scene. So, great pick there, Don. Dang it, now I want to watch it. I want to drive to Wausau right now and go watch it on the big screen, because, you get that line in there. You want me to sleep with my brother? You know how disgusting that is? I don't want to know what he does when I'm not in the room.
And the thing about the other Vacation movies is that this one's rated PG, but if I'm not mistaken, aren't the other ones rated R, if I'm not mistaken?
Vegas is PG-13.
The first
is R, and European Vacation is PG-13, I think.
This was PG-13 as well. But this, we're talking 80s PG-13. We're not talking modern-day PG-13, which means there's one topless scene in European Vacation, and that's why it got the... I'm not going down that road. I'm not going down that road. But excellent choice there. And Cole, what about you, sir? Your Christmas movie?
I decided to go with my favorite and not the best, which is obviously The Wonderful Life, I think, is probably the greatest Christmas movie ever made. My favorite is actually Lethal Weapon.
Nice.
I'm going to lose some street cred here as a film critic.
Nothing wrong with the
whole Mel Gibson thing, to me, for whatever reason, doesn't impact my enjoyment of this movie. I love it so much. Probably because I was Martin Riggs until I hit my early 30s and started to love again and stuff. I know it sounds cheesy. But there's some heart in Lethal Weapon, man. I mean, maybe it's Gibson's performance. I think it has more to do with Glover and Gibson. And also Richard Donner, who is still my favorite director. He doesn't work much anymore, but he has a way of finding humor in everything. And from what I understand, he encourages everybody to improvise. He encourages everybody to go off script, which is why I think Shane Black disowned the series after after part two. He just backed off and said, this isn't even my work anymore. It's funny. It's Christmas is the whole spine of the movie. Like, it opens with Holly Jolly Christmas. I don't know what version it is. I should have that info on hand. But even during Riggs' attempted suicide scene, which is a phenomenally acted scene, he's watching a Christmas holiday special, like right on the television. I don't know. I can't defend it too much, my decision, other than, it is my favorite Christmas movie. I watch it every Christmas, and I love it. It's a Christmas movie, just like Gremlins. It doesn't get appreciation of being a Christmas movie, but it is. Christmas is the whole atmosphere. It's the whole backbone of the movie, It provides the emotions that you need, the family vibe that Riggs slowly begins to warm up into and thaw into is this family during Christmas time. And I think the movie ends with him going to Christmas dinner. Mm-hmm. The very last scene, bringing his dog into the cheesy by today's standards, I guess. But growing up, I really adored that. I'd watch it every Christmas and just think, one day I'm going to cheer up too, man. I'm great now, but one day I'll meet my Danny Glover. And I love the flick. It's corny, but I love it.
No, nothing wrong with that at all. Kate, Lethal Weapon, any thoughts on it?
I actually haven't seen it yet.
Really?
Really?
That's true. She is young. She is a bit young. So, Paul, what about you? Lethal Weapon?
I wasn't ready for Lethal Weapon, so I can't say anything about it. I was ready for Die Hard, but not Lethal Weapon.
Another action holiday film, but exactly. Lethal Weapon, any thoughts? You want me to come back to you? Or?
Yeah, actually, come back to me after I hear everyone else's. Will draw my memory back.
Tony, Lethal Weapon?
Well, it's funny how you mentioned that, because after this, that's the movie I was actually going to watch. But as of right now, I haven't seen it yet, but after this, I will.
Okay.
It'll be my first time watching it.
All you young folks who haven't seen it, Don, what about you?
I thought it was great. Exactly what Cole said. It's very thematic. You're talking about Martin Riggs, the character Martin Riggs, having that severe seasonal depression due to the loss of his the interaction between him and Danny Glover's, Murtaugh's family. Falling into that. You're absolutely right. It just draws you right in and makes you feel a lot.
Well, thanks, Don. That's awesome.
Glenn, what about you, Lethal Weapon?
I'm too old for this shit.
Nice.
No, Lethal Weapon, I think I wore that videotape out.
Definitely.
You want to jump? You really want to jump? Let's jump together.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine with me, asshole.
Andrew, what about you?
I like that a lot.
Oh, you know, it's you know, I really respect Shane Black as a screenwriter. He actually wrote my favorite Christmas action movie, which is not Lethal Weapon. It's Long Kiss Goodnight of Gina Davis and Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
That's actually my favorite if we're talking Christmas action. But he wrote like Monster Squad, Last Boy Scout, which, you know what I mean? Like, he came out of the gate with Lethal Weapon, though. That's just, it's ridiculous, his track record.
Yeah, man.
And Last Action Hero, which I dropped earlier, and one of you had a good reaction to it. I don't remember who it was. I guess it was cool.
I've seen it multiple times.
Yeah, it's just it's incredible, you know. And I really enjoyed the sequels, which were not written by him, but I think I liked all four.
Oh yeah, yeah, man.
And it's not one we think of, kind of like with Die Hard and Long Kiss Goodnight. It's not what we think of as a Christmas movie. But that is an awesome pick, man. I gotta say, it's an awesome pick.
Thank you. I kind of went out on a limb, you know, but it is my favorite, if I'm being honest.
Well, it did address a when it came out, it addressed a subject that really isn't covered up because everybody tries to think happy for the holidays. But there is actually a lot of people that suffer from depression, especially around the holidays after some tragedy that they suffered earlier in the year. And so it addresses that. Not only that, what I love about Lethal Weapon was one of the first times for a while we had a very flawed hero. I mean, this guy is suicidal. We actually see him try to kill himself near the trigger. I mean,
you don't see that in action movies either, man. They don't have a Riggs in action movies.
You didn't, especially up until that point, you didn't really have that character in an action film, and it made you a little conflicted, some people, I think, of how to root for this guy, because he wants to, you know, it's like, this guy has some damage, yet you want to see him take the guy off the roof and hop, you love the fact where he sits there with the guy who takes him hostage, and he's just telling the cops, shoot him. Shoot him, and then you go, shoot me, shoot me, shoot me, and then headbutts, you know, and you see him try to rein that rage back in, and yeah, regardless of how you feel about Mel Gibson, I think that's one of his really great roles that he did was what he brought to that character and how he portrayed that character. Really, you hadn't up until that point seen that in an action film.
And plus, really knowing he's nuts for real just makes it cooler.
Yeah, you know. but his character was I think that was perfect juxtaposition. Well, that's a big word I murdered. But between him and Murtaugh, because he had Murtaugh who was kind of the exact opposite. You know, I mean, you really had two extreme polar opposites who were pairs. I mean, you had that before with Odd Couple type cop buddy films, but nothing like this on a psychological level, I think. And yeah, Lethal Weapon, great holiday film that a lot of people don't realize is a holiday film. So let's see. I think Glenn is the last one that we haven't got to for his horror film. Well, not horror film, but holiday film. Excuse me.
Black Christmas, man.
No, I also went the route of action movie. Many people associate with Christmas.
Okay.
But it is set during Christmas. And it's one I watch every year this time of year.
They drew First Blood.
First Blood. Oh, wow.
First Blood. It is set during Christmas.
He's right. Yeah, he's right.
The whole scene when he's going through town, there's all the scenes.
Oh, my God. He's right.
When he's shooting up the police station, there's the Christmas tree.
This is why I love you guys. This is why I love all of you.
Well, I could have said 12 monkeys.
Hey, we're in the best group ever.
Rambo First Blood. Excellent. Tell us a little bit about this movie, Glenn.
You've got the story. It's you know, the origins of Rambo. And this is probably one of the most believable action movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because when you get down to him, he doesn't kill that many people. I think he kills one guy in the whole movie. He kills one guy, and that was an accident.
Yeah.
So, and it's just, you know, it's a bunch of, it's some, you know, yokel county sheriffs and his deputies and some National Guardsmen going against a former Special Forces guy out of Vietnam. And it's, you get some good insight to the whole thing starting off where he's, you know, trying to track down like his old buddies who everybody knows from Vietnam is dead.
Yeah.
You know, he's alone. and you get a lot of that feel for it is that that kind of, you know, that loneliness that he has. And it's got a great cast, I think. I mean, you've got Stallone probably doing some of his better work in his as far as action movies go. You got Richard Crenna, and you've got Brian Dennehy before he ate his FX co-star Brian Brown.
So nicely done, Glenn.
I like this one a lot. I've always liked it, and it's just that, I don't know, it's just part of it's that believability. I've always just kind of had a fascination with the whole Vietnam era, and knowing I have older friends who served in Vietnam and just some of the stories they told and how hard it was for them to adjust afterwards. And for a lot of them, the holiday season is some of the hardest seasons for them, right? Because, you know, they lost so much, and then they came back to loss as well. So that's one of the reasons I love this movie, is it gives you that kind of feel for the guys who went through that.
Yeah, it is a really serious film, and you're right, it is a very realistic action film. Don't forget, though, it also has "And He Took a Shot," "And He Drew First Blood." Yeah! It has David Caruso in it. So
that's right.
In a small role. Don, what about you? First Blood?
I had forgotten it was set at Christmas. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it in years, but I remember absolutely loving it.
Yeah.
I remember, I don't know how many of you, but my dad served in Vietnam. My uncle served in Vietnam. It was when that movie came out, it was a big deal. Right. It was a big deal because everybody felt it.
Yeah, and there were people that someone knew someone who was dealing with that type of situation that Rambo was dealing with in it. So it did touch home, I think, for a lot of people. Cole, what about you? First Blood?
Yeah, man, I love it for all the reasons Glenn mentioned. In particular, Glenn mentioning the lack of respect for Vietnam vets, man. It really stood out for me. That opening scene where they pick him up and they try and send him out of town and he turns around and walks right back into town. And you think, oh, shit, this is not going to go well. At the time I saw it, Rambo wasn't a franchise, so right. I didn't know. I'm so old, actually, that I can remember seeing it before Rambo 2. Before Rambo was Rambo. It was more of, you know, apparently Stallone was supposed to kill himself in the original cut. I don't know if that's true. That's what I've read. But yeah. It's a real movie. I don't remember it being a Christmas movie, but First Blood is a real movie, man. Yeah. It sticks with me. It's actually a movie like Requiem for a Dream that I just don't watch because it kind of disturbed me.
Mm-hmm.
In a bad way. Like,
sure. It gets you in a funk a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, it really does, but I love it. I think it's a great pick, although I didn't remember it was a Christmas movie, but what a great pick, man.
Yeah. Paul, what about you?
I would agree that I think, actually, that this was a great pick. But I would say that this version of Rambo was by far the better character, because the series, I think they started to make him a hero, and I liked him better in this film, where he wasn't a hero, he wasn't a bad guy either. He just kind of wanted to be kind of left alone, and I thought that was an interesting thing about this character of Rambo versus the series that progressed afterwards. So I thought this was the better movie out of the entire series.
This isn't one that I've seen yet. But I'm going to watch
it. I'm sorry, I keep picking you and you haven't seen it.
I am going to watch it. It sounds enjoyable, and it's a pretty unique pick for a holiday movie.
It is a darker film, but it does take place in the holidays, so it does qualify. Andrew, what about you, sir?
I agree with everybody. I mean, it's like it's crazy to think what a pioneering action movie it was, because it's not an action movie; it's a psychological thriller. You know, it's like it's got more in common with, like, I'd put it next to like The Deer Hunter or something like that. You know,
yeah, man.
It's a and you know it originally in the book it's based on. The character Rambo does kill himself at the end of it, and they did shoot an ending where he killed himself, but ultimately
decided
not to. Yeah, yeah, it's part of the Rambo lore, but also, you know, the original cut was also like 3 hours long, and Stallone was actually afraid it was going to kill his career, so he was just going to buy it back and bury it. Because his agent apparently like got sick when he saw the first cut of it or whatever. It's a deep movie. It's an upsetting movie, and it's none of the things that Rambo has a legacy for being. And I think that kind of really sucks. It's not that the other movies aren't good, but they came to symbolize that, like, some kind of nationalistic Reagan era.
They were Reagan era. Yeah.
And that's so the opposite. It's like people thinking Born in the USA is a patriotic song.
Yeah.
You know? It's like you're not paying attention, you don't know. Yeah. But those of us who do really, really appreciate it, and I think it was a good-ass idea, albeit a kind of a downer. You know, it's like, hey, let's just talk about Requiem for a Dream now. Merry Christmas, everyone. but the fact is, yeah, it's excellent. It's outstanding. And I know people that haven't watched it because of the reputation, like Rambo and Rambo 3 and all that stuff. Like, why would I want to watch this, you know, Ronald Reagan bubblegum explosion? I'm like, you got no idea. I saw those other Rambos. I grew up in the 80s. I saw those first. And later, someone's like, dude, have you ever seen First Blood? And he just handed it to me. And at that time, I had seen Apocalypse Now and a few other important movies that addressed Vietnam. And I was just, like, blown away by the fact that I had just totally underestimated the Rambo character and had no idea what it really was.
Tony, have you seen First Blood?
Yep.
And what are your feelings on the film?
I think it's a really great movie. It's pretty much what everyone has been saying. You know, it's definitely a very dark, very gritty, very hard-to-watch movie. Like, it has elements of, you know, an R-rated blood fest where you see blood left and right. You know, it has those elements, but it has intense and serious elements at the same time. And you really root for a Rambo character the whole time. Like, you could see his purpose for the stuff that he's doing. So, like you guys said, he's not like a hero, but he's not like a bad guy. He's just doing what he's doing. And that's why I think made this a very memorable and overall just a great film. Not an action film, but just in general, a film in general.
Yeah, it's interesting that this spawned actually the action films it did later, you know, because of those.
And helped sell a lot of knives, too.
And helped sell a lot of knives. I remember mail order and ads everywhere. You wanted that Rambo knife with the... everything inside the hilt, you know. I know I wanted one when I was a kid. I saw it. I was like, oh, I want a Rambo knife, man.
The wire saw that snapped before the twig did.
Yeah.
Like cheap-ass garrote wire in there.
Yeah, exactly.
that compass, though, would save your life if you get lost in the woods. So, by God. But wow, yeah, that's definitely a real pick, and it's a kind of a shame it went the way it did, because that film is completely different from the rest of the franchise, including the Rambo 3, I'm going to shoot an arrow at a huge Russian helicopter.
Well, what about part 4, where he's basically reenacting the UHF scene?
Yeah, I know, right? Although I do love the close-up shot he does. He shoots the guy close-up with that 35 mil, whatever, that cannon, that big cannon on the back of the Jeep. He shoots the driver with it. I'm like, oh my God, this is UHF. And he just,
it's exactly UHF. I couldn't believe it.
Like, wow.
I was the only one in the theater laughing. Like, this guy's psychotic.
He is psychotic.
Oh, great. Great picks, everyone. We are running a little late here, but I'll just throw mine out quick. I have a number of them, as well as everybody else does, and you've mentioned a lot of them. I mean, one of them for me, too, is, you know, it's kind of an in-between movie, The Nightmare Before Christmas, but, and, you know, It's a Wonderful Life, I agree, definitely a classic. For me, though, one of the holiday films I always try to watch every year is White Christmas. With I know I'm going a little sentimental here, no. But it's White Christmas with Bing Crosby.
Yeah,
I love that movie. I love that movie so much, and I know it's a musical. Fine, burn me. But I think there's just great performances in there. It's really a great movie for the holidays. You know about them. And it also addresses some things lightly, but if you notice, it addresses things about veterans after the war, you know, and them, what happened to them. I mean, it's a lighter family film, but it still talks about it, you know, how he's got the one moment where he goes on the radio because he's been successful entertainer, and he calls the troops of, you know, that they serve to help his, you know, I believe it was his commanding officer who had the snow lodge, you know. I just love the performances and the music from it. You know, Bing Crosby, White Christmas. If you don't have this in your collection of holiday music, you need it in there. It is the ultimate Christmas album.
Yeah,
Bing Crosby's White Christmas. I have it on vinyl, and I listen to it. Yes, I have it on vinyl. Okay, and I listen to it because that's the way you need to listen to Christmas music as well. But for me, I just love the soundtrack. I mean, every single song on there is just holiday feel. You know, it's not as dark as some of our others, but it's just a good film. It's a film everybody can watch. You know.
There's no explosions,
no. But anyone else, any of you, am I being too sentimental? White Christmas, anyone have any feelings on it at all?
I love it. It's a great movie. I think it's the second best holiday. I mean, second to It's a Wonderful Life, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it's a fantastic movie. I don't have the soundtrack, and I should have it. I really should, man. But that's a great choice. That's an awesome choice. Bing Crosby rocks, if I can get away with saying that, man.
I think it's one of his best performances in a film is in White Christmas. You know, Dawn, any thoughts on White Christmas?
I grew up on that. On White Christmas, Holiday Inn, The Bishop's Wife, all those films. I grew up on that. They're very nostalgic for me.
Definitely. Andrew? Oh, go ahead, Glenn.
What?
Were you going to say something? I'm sorry.
No.
Oh, you have anything to say about White Christmas?
I liked it when I saw it, which was probably 1979. Probably the last time I saw this movie. So,
okay.
I remember watching it with my dad once. So,
sure. Okay, and Andrew, what about you, sir? White Christmas at all?
Oh yeah, actually, White Christmas. Well, I'm more of a Black Christmas guy. I have to say that first.
Of course.
it's the first VistaVision movie. It's got a lot of technical, like, pioneer type stuff in it, not just with the sound, but VistaVision's the first, like, evolution from 35mm. We could get pretty nerdy about it and say basically first widescreen movie.
Yeah.
When I watch it, I watch it as a sort of technical marvel, and I wish I could see it in a theater that would present it with the original kind of sound they did, because it was a way of, like, splitting up mono to create this, like, early version of stereo, basically, in the sound mix. It was really cool kind of how they did it. So,
oh, wow!
Just from a purely, like, film nerd point of view, White Christmas is actually, and that's not usually part of the conversation. Usually people talk about, like, you know, Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye having made, like, other movies together, so it's like their third pairing or whatever, and talking about how big of a hit it was when it came out and everything. But, like, I think it was, like, the top movie of 54. Mm-hmm. But nobody ever really talks about technically all the things that it achieved and the things they were experimenting with at the time. So when I think about White Christmas, that's what I think about.
Cool. Kate, what about you? Seen White Christmas?
I haven't seen it, but based on everything that I've heard tonight, I think I'm going to have to watch it soon.
Well, you said it's a sentimental 50s movie, but it's perfect for the holidays, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it was a precursor to 70mm, basically.
Yeah.
It's like the early version of 70mm.
Some of the shots they have in there are fantastic. The wide shots and the crane shots.
Next time you watch it, think about that stuff.
They had to use a lot of the soundstage because those sets were huge, too.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, Paul, what about you, sir? White Christmas?
I'm going to blame It's a Wonderful Life for not watching this film, because if I have a choice, I always go It's a Wonderful Life. So,
okay. Tony, what about you? White Christmas? Seen it?
I think I watched it for the first time last year, and I really liked the movie. I thought it was, well, first of all, I'm probably one of the minority in this world that actually loves music. I'm a huge musical buff, so the fact that this was a musical, that's already a huge plus right there.
Yeah, man.
You know, the music is fantastic. The choreography is really great. You know, it's very well written. And like what you just mentioned right now, the set designs and the stages, how beautiful looking the movie is. It's just a really nice film to watch. You know, it just really warms your heart. And of course, that's how we even got the song White Christmas, which is one of my favorite Christmas songs of all time. I could listen to that countless times. So, yeah, White Christmas, it's a nice movie. And if you haven't seen it, you should definitely check it out.
Yeah, I'm glad everybody liked it. I wasn't quite sure picking a little bit older one, but yeah, for me, it is. It's just special. And I just can't hear, you know, they cover a lot of songs from this album later on, and it had some classic Christmas standards in that. But for me, it just, the versions of the songs on this album scream, just epitomize Christmas. That's Christmas for me. The minute I hear any of the music from the soundtrack, I'm like, boom, Christmas. I'm here. Where's my tree?
I'm that way with John Denver's Christmas with the Muppets album. That was
my favorite. Oh, that's a great album. But for me, that is. You know, Bing was a great voice, and that soundtrack, and it, not only him, but I think he sings Jingle Bells with the Andrews Sisters on it, I think it is. The version of Jingle Bells is just fantastic. I mean, the whole soundtrack is great to go along with the movie.
Everything with the Andrews Sisters is great.
Yeah. And then, you know,
about my sister.
And then, of course, you got the pairing of Danny Kaye and Bing Crosby. The two just played off each other so well, you know.
And everybody's white in it, so it's aptly named.
Well, you just shot on my Christmas.
I can understand Scott saying that, but
segregated Christmas.
Thanks, Andrew. I appreciate that. Now,
the 50s weren't the best time for everybody.
No, they weren't. Thank you.
Sorry, that just came out.
It's been a couple of weeks.
I'm going to sell my copy of White Christmas now. And yep.
Ooh, sell it to me, Mark. Sell it to me.
And I think on that note, we're going to wrap it up.
I want to give one honorable mention.
Sure.
Which is a newer one. It didn't make my list because I've only seen it once. Mm-hmm. And I want to watch it again, but it was from like 2005-ish. It was a French-German kind of mix. And I'm going to butcher the name because it's French, but it's Joyeux Noël.
Oh, I've heard of that one.
It's based on a true story of during World War I where German, French, and Scottish troops kind of had an informal truce
on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm. And kind of like, you know, actually fraternized. You got to know the guys in the other trenches. It's a really, really good movie. And it's got that Christmas backdrop, and it's I would highly recommend that one for everyone to check out.
Man.
Cool.
Yeah. Nice.
Fantastic. Well, I thank you everyone for sharing one of your favorite holiday films tonight. We had a great crew and a big crew here, and we definitely got some picks I bet people weren't expecting. we usually get Christmas Carol and It's a Wonderful Life, and we didn't have either one of those really pop up here. So that shows you how many diverse holiday films are out there besides the ones that you may be fed commercially to people. So we're going to go down the aisle real quick here. Just get everybody where you can find them when they're not here. Cole, why don't you go ahead first, sir?
I will, man. I just want to make it quick. Thank you for having me on, Mark.
Oh, yeah.
I live in southern Wisconsin, so I talk films now. That's the only time I get to talk intelligently about movies. Otherwise, it's bars and the Packers. So,
Woo, Packers.
I love you all right now. But you can find me on Facebook right now because I'm fairly broke. I'm in editing with my new movie, so I'm broke. But you can find me, Cole Meredith, on Facebook. Please locate me. Or Shadows and Lovers Productions. The page is kind of quiet right now because I'm editing, not promoting too much. But also, if you're into horror movies, Horror Roar, I'm always on there. Hunt me down. Let's talk movies, man. I love you.
Excellent. And Dawn?
Hi.
Hi. How are you this evening, Dawn?
Oh, I'm
Yeah, but it's just that kind of day, I think. Yeah. So I am in the audience.net.
Awesome.
I've been kind of slow lately. It's been a crazy, crazy autumn, early winter. So.
Well, the holidays do tend to get busy, and trying to find that time when it's your side thing and not your main thing is always tough. But yes, in the audience, definitely check out her blog. And Mr. BFD, Glenn Bittner?
You can find me on the Twitter, Naked Hobo. You can also find me on Facebook, Naked Hobo Productions. And you can find me on YouTube, Naked Hobo Productions. The B-Movie Bunker.
Awesome. And
nice impression.
Yes, I like that. That's really good. Andrew?
Oh, man, if y'all want to see some movies for Christmas, Amazon On Demand has three of my titles. One of them there is Fake Blood. Another one's Dang Pajama Nightmare. And another one's called Dang Old Mondo Gonzo. You can... just put that in your damn peace pipe and smoke it, fuckers. And may all your dang Christmases be black.
Kate?
You can find me on my blog, which is itsonlyamovieblog.com, and on the Cinemaphile podcast. Andrew and I do a monthly Cold Core episode, and our latest one was with the Jack Frost writer and director.
And I don't use that voice that I did. My boss would kill me.
Paul, what about you, sir?
First of all, I'd just like to thank everyone for not picking A Christmas Story, because I really don't like that film. I really don't. So thank you for not picking that. You can find me at forsakenfilmreviews.wordpress.com.
Andrew broke the group, I think.
No, dude, let me just say one thing about Christmas Story, man, because I was saving this for if somebody picked it. Could I just say?
Sure.
I think it's crazy that the kid that gets his tongue stuck to the pole ended up doing porno.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Oh, that's so great. You can cut that out if you want to, but I was saving that if somebody picked it. But...
are you kidding? I'm leaving that in there. That's why I love this place.
Awesome.
And Tony?
Flick the fluffer.
All right, buckaroos. You could find me at youtube.com/22tigerdude. I'm sorry, I'm trying to control myself. Andrew made me laugh too hard.
I just laughed at you.
At tigerdude22. At the... Okay, facebook.com/22tigerdude. And Instagram at 22tigerdude. Merry Christmas.
That was beautiful, Tony. That was beautiful. And yes, folks, if you go to specialmarkproductions.com, you can find links to everything that these folks presented, all in one handy spot, the Friends of Special Mark Productions. You can also find my stuff there, my latest reviews from The Final Cut, my latest stuff from We Live Film, and these podcasts, as well as the archive of these other episodes, because we love talking film with you guys. We're glad you're listening. We've been growing in people who have been regularly following us. I thank you to all of you who are following us and listening to us babble on about films that we love so much. Thank you so much. Make sure you rate and comment us. We're on iTunes as well as Stitcher. Or, like I said, you go to Special Mark Productions and you can find the podcast page in the archive for most of the episodes there in audio format. I want to thank everyone for listening in. I want to thank all our guests once again. I'm always humbled by how many people want to come in to the spoiler room and talk films. I hope you have a new list of holiday films. And I hope everyone has a fun and safe holiday. We're going to probably have one or two more episodes at least this month. So stay tuned to us. Subscribe to iTunes. And as always, remember, in the spoiler room, we do spoil the films, but the conversation is definitely fresh.